Tonight, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 10 tonight, Luke chapter number 10. And I want to read a few verses here this evening and give you the thought the Lord has given me this evening and hopefully be a challenge to me and then a challenge to you as well, a challenge for this local congregation of believers. Luke chapter number 10 tonight, and we begin reading in verse number 25. I hear some pages turning. Give you just a few more minutes. Luke chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up tempting him." And this is an individual who is standing tempting the Lord or testing the Lord. And he says, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, being the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Verse number 30, the Bible says, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? The lawyer responds in verse 37, And he said, He that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. This evening I'd like to preach a message entitled, A Lesson in Compassion. A Lesson in Compassion. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the evening. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be at our home church tonight. I thank you so much for my pastor, Lord, his leadership, his preaching, his heart for this congregation, myself included. I thank you for that tonight. Father, I pray you'd bless him and others that are with him as they go to this conference and this meeting. Father, I pray you'd help them to receive what they need that would continue to help our church grow and move forward and be a light in this community. Father, I pray tonight that you please remove my nerves and empty me of myself. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and help me do what you've called me to do, and that is preach. Father, give me good pace and clarity in my thoughts and minds tonight. Lord, I pray tonight for my congregation. May they listen with open ears and open hearts. And Lord, let them be receptive to the word of God. Let us be changed and different and learn a lesson in compassion. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter number 10, we have a very familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. And if you know what a parable is basically an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The Lord Jesus many times would give illustrations of different things, and they would be earthly in their content, but they would have spiritual application. We see in verse 25, the Lord Jesus is confronted by a lawyer asking him a question regarding eternal life. If you were to look there, the lawyer, it says, and he tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, oftentimes I say this question is a normal or a good question. If somebody comes to me and says, how do I have eternal life? I can give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus and tell them how to be born again and how to have life in the Lord Jesus. But I think in this instance, if we examine this and consider the attitude of this individual, I believe that this individual's question was a very selfish question. You see, he said, what shall I do? He was not concerned about others, but he was focused on himself. You see, tonight, this individual, this lawyer, had what I call an inward mindset. I say tonight that real Christians, those of us that are born again, we need to beware of having an inward mindset. You see, as believers, we ought to have an outward mindset on how we can help somebody else. An outward mindset is the mindset of the Lord Jesus Christ and of a servant. And those of us that are born again, we ought to have that mindset. Consider Christ would look beyond himself and he would give himself a sacrifice for me and you on the cross of Calvary. It was Christ on the night of the Last Supper that would kneel and wash the disciples' feet. It was Christ after the resurrection that would prepare supper for those men that were fishing. You see, Christ had an outward mindset or a mindset to serve and help others. You say, how does someone have an outward mindset? Well, we think, how can I help somebody else? What can I do to help lighten someone's load? Who in this world is in trouble that I have the ability to help them through or out of that trouble? I'll be honest with you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I find myself often without this right mindset. Most of my days, if I'm not careful, my mind is focused on what I need to do, where I need to go, and what I need to accomplish that day. When in reality, I should be looking to see how I can help somebody else along the way. As we look at verse 25, we see the man's question was not genuine, but it was for the purpose of testing or trying our Lord. He said here, behold, a certain lawyer stood up tempting him. That word tempted in this instant means to prove, to test, or to put to proof God's character or power. In other words, he was challenging the Lord. He was challenging his position as Messiah, and he was challenging his position as the Son of God. As we go down to verse 26, the Lord Jesus asked the man what the law says or what does the Bible say concerning your own question. Verse 27, the reason that Jesus would do this is he was turning the question on the man, getting him to think how he would answer it. Consider tonight a lawyer in the Bible was an Old Testament individual who would interpret Old Testament laws. You see, this young man already knew the answer to his question when he asked the Lord. He already knew what he needed to be doing in order to inherit eternal life. Again tonight, I say this man's question was not genuine, but he was challenging the Lord and he was questioning his authority. The following verses, the individual gives the answer. He says in verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. This lawyer, what he's doing is he's referring back to Old Testament law. If you were to look in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 5, the Bible would say this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then in Leviticus 19 and verse number 18, he says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You see, this man knew the answer to his question. He knew what the Old Testament law says. These Old Testament verses was what the Jews lived by on a daily basis. Their goal was to keep the commandments of God in order to gain or have salvation. Let me say tonight quickly that the law was given to the nation of Israel, and the law is for me and you to realize that we are sinners. We cannot keep the law. The law points us to our need of a Savior. And I say today that we still need a Savior, and that Savior's name is Jesus Christ. Verse 28, here the Lord tells this young man that he had answered the question rightly. He says, this do, and thou shalt live. So we look at verse 29, we look again at what the man's goal was. He said here, he willing to justify himself. In other words, he looked at himself and he says, you know what? I'm good enough. He says, me and God have an understanding. I'm all right with the Lord. I don't need a relationship with Christ because I have done enough good works to obtain what I'm asking. He's trying to make himself look good in the eyes of the Savior, and he's trying to make his conscience, his own conscience, be at peace and be appeased. We see as this man asked this question, again, this man had a selfish or an inward mindset. He would say this, "Who is my neighbor?" Can we not hear the arrogance in that question? Lord, who is my neighbor? Who is this talking about? He was a Jew, and in pride he was lifted up, and he was a lawyer, and he understood the law, but he was challenging the Lord. Who is this one that you are talking about? In the following verses, I see that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give this man a lesson in compassion. The word compassion simply means a suffering with others. It means painful sympathy or pity. It means the showing of mercy to another who is suffering or in sorrow. For our time tonight that we have remaining, I would like us to walk into the classroom with this lawyer and receive a lesson in this matter of compassion. Notice, first of all, tonight as we consider a lesson in compassion, I see the need for compassion. In verse 30, the Bible says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." We see in verse 30, Jesus introduces us to an individual. The Bible does not tell us very much about this person. All we know is he's on I-85 south out of Jerusalem, headed to Jericho. And he's seeking to make the safety of that city. Let us now please observe what happens on the highway. First of all, the Bible tells us that he fell among thieves. That phrase, "fell among," means to fall into as to be compassed. I don't know about you, but I don't think this individual intended himself to be in this position. I don't think he ever intended to be robbed. I don't think he ever intended to be wounded. I don't think his goal for that day was to get jumped there on the road. But that is what happened to him. Let me say tonight, when a person falls, it's often not on purpose. It usually happens all of a sudden and out of nowhere. I remember several years ago in my younger days, I'm 39, I got to say that now. Several years ago in my younger days, we were playing football at Vacation Bible School at the church I grew up in. And I was the middle linebacker, and I taught those teenagers how to play zone defense. And man, that night we were the 86 Bears. You wasn't scoring on us, man. We were doing a great job. We were having a good time. We were playing that football game. And I remember as I walked up to the line getting ready for the next play, I stepped in a hole. And I blowed my ankle all to pieces that night. Down I went to the ground, and I remember falling down. Now, did I intend to do that? Absolutely not. Man, I was pumped. Man, we were playing lights out that night. But I remember that night as I fell, and I remember crawling off the field, and I remember my wife laughing at me and everybody else laughing at me because I couldn't get up. I tried, but I went right back down. And I think about that. I didn't intend to be in that position. I didn't intend to fall. So I began to think about that. This man was going along his way, and out of nowhere, trouble came. Not only did it come, but it surrounded this man. There was nowhere for him to run. There was no way for him to avoid the situation. He was there, and as John Madden would say, pow, trouble hit him blindsided. I'm reminded of the verse in Job 14 and verse 1. Job would say this, and the Bible says this, "Man that is born of woman is what? A few days and full of trouble." This verse today is very real. Our lives are a few days and full of trouble. Let me warn you tonight, beware of the individual who says they have no trouble in life. Why? Because they're liars. If you run across somebody and they say they don't have any trouble, whether it be in the spiritual life, whether it be in the physical life, whatever's going on in life, if they say, "I have no trouble at all," beware of that individual. Because I don't believe they're telling the truth. I'm reminded of an individual I knew. He told the story. He says, "Yeah, we've been married, me and my wife, 20 some odd years, and we've never had a fight." I thought, wow, he's doing it, you know. If you're here tonight and you've never had a fight with your wife, you've never had trouble in your home, I want to talk to you after church. I want to figure out how to do it, you know. I need to sit down and you need to hook. Is that, you know, I think about this, you know. He didn't intend for this trouble to happen. Let me say tonight that many times we need to realize, in order to show compassion, we need to see the need, and we need to realize that that individual that's fallen, whether they've fallen into sin, whether they've fallen into trouble, whether they've fallen away, they didn't intend to be there, more than likely. That drug addict didn't intend to OD. A lot of times that person that sits on the church pew, they never intended to get out of the will of God. Sometimes those things just happen. Notice secondly, considering this man in the need of compassion, he says he was stripped, wounded, and left. He was down for the count. Total destruction had come his way. Consider his humiliation. He was stripped. Let me say tonight that sometimes situations in people's lives are humiliating for individuals. Situations are humiliating. You know, it may be out of our control. It may be that we've done all that we can to guard against the situation in our life. Maybe it's through our children. Maybe it's through another relationship. Maybe it's through a job. Maybe it's our own failure. And when we fall and when we struggle, there's humiliation. And oftentimes, it's very difficult to get past those things. I consider not only his humiliation, but consider his wounds. I don't know about you, but I've been wounded in my life. I've been wounded in my Christian walk. I've been wounded in the ministry, and it's not easy to get through sometimes. Consider his loneliness. They departed. I say this tonight, Christians are the world's worst at leaving those in their own ranks when they're suffering. When somebody goes through a tragedy, or maybe a person in church falls into sin, we are the world's worst at setting back and watching the disaster and not being willing to do anything to help that situation. Sometimes trouble in life will come. It will leave us in a bad situation. Sometimes an individual falls into sin. Sometimes we react in a bad way. Sometimes life just happens and we find ourselves stripped, wounded, and lonely. Then I see also tonight concerning the need for compassion, his life was in the balance. The Bible says they left him for dead. This means that he was half dead. That means what it means. He was half dead. His life was in the balance. If somebody did not come to his aid, he was going to die there on the highway. I think about lost men tonight. Their souls are in the balance between heaven and hell. Their eternity is in the balance, just like this man's life. Hey, listen, when we go outside these doors, there's individuals all around us that they're teetering on the edge of eternity and falling into a place called hell. They're on that edge and their lives are in the balance. And listen, if me and you don't learn to show compassion, and me and you don't learn to show that we care about them, they're going to fall off into a place called hell, and they're going to spend eternity there. And it's going to be part of our failure that they went to that place. Then I think about Christians, saved men and saved women. Our souls are secure in Christ. Our eternity is set. However, somebody is on the edge of falling into sin or making a mistake, their service is in jeopardy. Christians who struggle or are under attack from Satan, even have fallen, their walk is in the balance. Many of us tonight know individuals who once served the Lord and served the Lord in a mighty way, and now they've fallen by the wayside. And the thing about it is, they can be restored if somebody's willing to show them compassion and help them. I think about how that we consider that we are all one trial, we are all one sin, we are all one struggle away from falling by that wayside. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You know, I'm reminded of a little child. You know, I think about this week on my phone, Isalina, a picture of her popped up when she was a little baby and she was toddling around, you know, and that's been a long time now, but I begin to think about that. And you know, have you ever seen a baby who thinks, man, they got it figured out, and off they go, and about five steps away from that chair or that couch or even that pew, what happens? They fall down. Listen, we need to be aware in our Christian life. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what you're doing for the Lord. I don't care how strong you think you are. Hey, listen, beware lest you fall. Guard against those things. See here the need for somebody to show compassion. This man was in real trouble. His situation was not going to improve without help. Let us realize today that our world is in trouble, and there are situations and things in this world and people's lives. They're not going to improve unless somebody shows them compassion. Let me say tonight, we may not understand why the person's in that situation, but we don't need to. We don't need to know all the dirty details. We need to realize that, hey, we don't need to know the details, but what we need to do is we need to see that situation And we need to do our best to help that individual, whoever they may be. Whether they're lost, whether they're a Christian that's fallen by the wayside, whoever it may be, we don't need to know all the details. We just need to try to help them. Notice, secondly, tonight, not only the need for compassion, but I see the example of compassion in verses 31 through 33. Jesus now introduces us to a Samaritan man. Already two religious men had passed over this individual. But there's the hero, the Samaritan individual. Observe his example of compassion. Notice in verse 33, his vision. The Bible says, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him. Notice he saw him. Now think about what he saw tonight. This man, what he saw was not pleasant to look at. He saw an individual on the roadside who had been wounded, who had been stripped, who was hanging between life and death. In other words, as he looked in that gutter, it was not a pretty picture. The Samaritan knew nothing of this man. The Samaritan did not know that he had been robbed. He did not know that he had been beaten. He didn't know if he had been torn by a wild beast. He just simply saw him. I began to think about that and thought, man, what an example. We need to learn to just see people. Yes, our world is full of sin. Yes, our world is full of wicked people. Yes, they are scarred and wounded by this world. Yes, they have wicked motives sometimes. Yes, they have desires to harm. However, they're just people. That fallen brother or sister in Christ, that sinner who is in trouble in need of salvation, they're just an individual. I believe it was Pastor that talked maybe Wednesday nights ago about getting past people that make mistakes. And sometimes we'll quickly judge an individual, or we'll see an individual that maybe hurt us or fallen, and we quickly form that opinion, even if that individual has made it right. Hey, listen, we need to just learn to see people. See people. Today, Christians need to quit qualifying who we want to help, or who we want to win to the Lord. We need to quit looking at the mess and the trouble, and we need to see the person. I think about many times when you go out on visitation and you go into those homes, and I think about going to the prisons, and I think about RU and the ministry that was here and all of these things. What do you see when you go the sidewalk ministry? What do you see? You see the mess. If you're not careful, you look at the mess and you miss the person. You miss what's going on there. Not only do I see his vision, but I see his heart. Verse 33, it says he had compassion on him. Again, we talked about that word compassion, painful sympathy, pity, the showing of mercy to another who is suffering with sorrow. Notice the phrase, he had compassion. This means his bowels were moved to have compassion on him. This means his inward man, his heart was moved to pity and towards love for this individual. The Samaritan did not help out of obligation, but he helped because his heart was moved. He saw the sorrow and the hopelessness of the situation, and what did it do? It moved him. Man, how our hearts need to be moved again. How our hearts need to be moved again. I think about in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 18, the prophet Jeremiah would write, "Mine eyes affected my heart because of all the daughters of my city." Jeremiah, in the destruction there of Israel and Jerusalem, his heart was moved. His eyes saw, and he allowed it to come into it and affected the way he reacted. I think sometimes we've lost compassion because we see so much. We are bombarded with sorrow. We have our hearts hardened towards the needs of others. I think about media. We're bombarded with the sorrows of this world. We're bombarded with Ukraine. We're bombarded with the troubles in our nation. We're bombarded by the failures and the sins of others. And it's almost like we look at it now and, oh, that's just common. That's just the day we're living in. That's a terrible attitude to take. To say, oh, that's just how it's supposed to be. I think about we need to have a heart moved again with compassion toward these individuals. We need to have a heart moved with compassion towards people that are hurting. We need to have a heart towards people that maybe we don't understand why, but we need our heart moved. Then I see his actions. His actions in verse 34 through 35, he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he had departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the lost and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. Notice his actions. He went to him. Consider this delayed the Samaritan's trip. He had to stop what he was doing in order to help this individual. When's the last time we stopped what we were doing or delayed something so I could show compassion? When's the last time we stopped and said, you know what? I know what I'm doing is important, but I need to stop a minute. I need to take time to show a moment of compassion to an individual. Says he bound up his wounds and treated him. Listen, this cost him something. Oil and wine wasn't cheap, you know. Oil then, I don't know if it was $110 a barrel or whatever it was, but it wasn't cheap. It cost him something. I think about sometimes reaching those in need will require us giving. It'll cost us some things. It'll cost us financially. It'll cost us time-wise. It'll cost us by means. It may cost us our talents. Hey, listen, one of the greatest ways you can help somebody is with your talent, your ability. He placed him on his own beast. It's interesting because what'd he do? He set aside his own comfort to help this man. You know, sometimes we got to set aside comfort to help people. We got to say, listen, my comfort's not as important as the individual that has fallen in, and I need to put them in and make them as comfortable and help them and show them the love of Christ. He brought him to safety. He got him away from where he was and got him to a safe place. Let me ask you, when's the last time we got somebody that was hurting to a safe place? You say, what's a safe place, church? You say, but man, they come in here acting all crazy. It don't matter. Church is a safe place. Sunday school is a safe place. Wednesday night's a safe place. Think about this. Being around godly people is a safe place. I know an individual tonight, they're dealing with a young lady who is very difficult to deal with in her life, is really being wrecked by sin. And to be honest with you, to look at it, it's a mess. But you know what that individual is doing? She's trying to get that person around godly people. Every opportunity that comes, hey, come hang out with these people from the church. Hey, go with me with these people to the church. Hey, listen, it may be at the men's cookout. It may be, hey, they won't come to church, but listen, hey, if you look at their lives, there's a mess. Show compassion. Hey, listen, we're going to go shoot guns. If there's a man that don't like to shoot guns, man, they got problems. What we probably can't help them. No, I'm just saying, get them there. Get them around godly men and women. Get them there. Showing that compassion. Bring them to that place of safety. Hey, listen, a place of safety. Listen, I think about it. There's enough people out there judging people. Their lives are in a mess. There's enough people tearing them down out there. Hey, listen, we as a local body of believers, the last thing we ought to do is be tearing more people down. They get tore down enough out there. Get them here. Then he took care of him. The Bible says he bound up his wounds. And I know I've been long. I'm trying to get through, ladies and gentlemen. I'm acting like pastor tonight. He bound up his wounds. Don't tell him I said it. He's probably watching on Facebook. But anyhow, he bound up his wounds, he carried him to safety, and then he stayed with him. Listen, getting people out of a situation and bringing them to safety is just the start. We need to learn to do more to help them, to stay with people. Listen, when we get somebody out of trouble, many times if we're not careful, many times that individual, they'll go back to that trouble, and we got to go get them again. And we got to go get them again. And we got to get, I'm tired of going again. Go get them again. Go get them again. Go get them again. Go get them again. He stayed with him. I think about individuals that get saved. Somebody gets born again and they trust Christ as Savior. I think about this. If we're not careful, we'll offer them as lambs to the wolves. They'll get saved. They become a lamb, but they don't know how to defend themselves. They don't know the Bible. They don't know those things. Hey, listen, we need to get them and bring them in and say, listen, I'm thankful for the discipleship class. I think about how we need to get them and instruct them in the things of God. Pray for these individuals. Encouraging one another, helping one another instead of judging and looking at people. Then I think about the extra mile. In verse 35, the man pays the bill. He promises more if needed when he returns. He went beyond what was needed. He went that extra mile. It's not easy, but it's something that's necessary. It may require us going beyond what we even thought we could go. I think about all of these things he did. This was a great inconvenience for the Samaritan. It required him making sacrifice. Let me say this. What sacrifice are we willing to make in our lives that we might show compassion to somebody that's hurting? What is asked of us? The Christian life is a life of sacrifice and giving ourselves to help others. If you've not learned that we are to give ourselves to help others, you need to learn that. That's something we need to do. The Lord gave so much, and these disciples, they gave so much. And we as Christians, we ought to desire to give as much as we possibly can. Then notice thirdly, concerning this matter of a lesson in compassion, I see the command for compassion. Verses 36 and 37, the Lord says, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus, "Go unto him, go and do thou likewise." Christ concludes the parable with this question. Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto the thieves, or unto him that fell among thieves? Let us answer the question. I say tonight, it was not the priest of verse 31. He was not even moved. He didn't even think about showing compassion to this individual. It was not the Levite of verse 32. I think this man thought about it. He at least came and he looked and I think he considered, but he didn't take action. You know, that's where a lot of people are. They're willing to come and they're willing to look and they're willing to think about it. They're like, but no, I'm not going to take action. I'm going to go on. It was the Samaritan of verse 33. The most unlikely of the three would be the one that would move with compassion. He would take action. He would sacrifice. He would go the extra mile. Notice what Jesus instructs the lawyer to do in the end. Go and do thou likewise. The word likewise means equal or in the same way. I believe it is obvious who handled the situation the right way. It is obvious who showed compassion. Observe tonight the final thought. Notice the word go. This word in this instance means to pursue the journey on which one has entered. I thought about it. I just said, wow. If you think about that for a moment. Compassion and helping others is not a one and done event. It is an ongoing journey. Constantly showing compassion and love to those that are hurting and struggling. Constantly going to those individuals. In this life, we'll never get to a place where we have shown compassion to the last person or the last individual in need. What we must do is we must find the next one in the ditch. We must find the next one who has been wounded. We must find the next one who is ashamed of their position. We must find the next one who needs a ride. We must find the next one who needs someone to go the extra mile. I think about many people in this church that this church has had the opportunity to help. And there have been many pastors and many of those here in the church that they've gone to them and they've got them out of the ditch and they've helped them. We must continue to go and do those things. Then notice he says, do thou. This means to act rightly. Jesus is telling this lawyer to do the right thing. We have too many priests and Levites and few Samaritans. We need someone to say, I will go and I will do. The attitude that someone else will do it is an absolute failed attitude. You know, I've had people say, well, that's not my ministry. Oh, really? I thought we were called to reach the entire world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where they were at. Oh, that's not what I've been called to do. We've been called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. This week we'll come into contact with someone who has been spiritually robbed. Somebody who has been wounded. Somebody is left for dead. We'll come in contact with those. We may not realize that we do, but it may be that cashier. It may be that person on the other side of that gas pump. It may be that co-worker that we don't know much about. And we ought to learn, instead of being confrontational, we need to learn to show compassion and try to show them that Christ can get them out of that situation their life is in. It can get them out of the ruin that their life is in. Then he says, likewise, the need has been shown, the answer given. The challenge is for us to do likewise. This thought ended the conversation between the Lord and the lawyer. There was nothing else left to say. The lawyer went in that way knowing what was required of him. I think about all those that were in that congregation there as they listened to this conversation. They went away knowing what was required of them. I believe it's Charity tonight. Are you going to play the piano? Where's she at? She's gone. Oh, there she is. She's hiding. If you'll come to the piano tonight, As we prepare to close, I think about how the Lord removed his excuse. She begins to play tonight. Will we let the Lord end the argument in our heart? And will we gain a desire to help others and show compassion? Will we do like the Samaritan, and will we go out and do likewise? Will we learn a lesson in compassion? Father, thank you for the evening. Thank you so much for the liberty that was granted to me tonight to preach the Word of God. Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to take a lesson from